Now, in this session, we really want to discuss how we can ourselves, you know, change consciousness one individual at a time, Dr. Hawkins. And I know you've said in the past, previously in the program, that really that's the one way, the only way we can change consciousness. Could you share, I know you have a story of the transformational quality of love that was reported in the Toronto, one of the Toronto newspapers in 2004, about a mass murderer.
Oh, yes, we were speaking in Toronto.
Uh-huh.
Oh,
can
yeah.
you share that with
us? We were speaking in Toronto. And we were talking about the power of love, you know, and various things during the lecture. Well, that very day on the front page of the Toronto Star, Globe Star, or whatever it is, was the story about a very disturbed individual. He had 8,000 rounds of ammunition and multiple high-powered rifles. He was apparently out in a public park, threatening to kill himself and everybody around him. You know, one of these typical shoot-'em-up mass murders. So everybody tried to entreat him and argue him out of it, and et cetera. And he was completely non-responsive. You know, obviously very disturbed and mentally ill both at the same time. But he had 8,000 rounds of ammunition, high-powered rifles. So everybody there tried to talk him into sort of rescue him from the situation. Well, he was completely non-responsive. All of a sudden, across the lawn came a dog, and according to the newspaper, the name of the dog is Elvis, and he came running across the lawn with a frisbee in his mouth and jumped up upon this man and wanted him to play frisbee with him. Well, the man instantly came to his senses, put down the rifle, became reasonable. He eventually ended up going for treatment and help, accepted help. But Elvis's energy was at 500. So the power of love here came through a dog. You know, we said when you calibrated the levels of consciousness, the cat's purr is 500, and a dog's wagging tail calibrates at 500.
And that was interesting because the dog and the cat themselves don't calibrate that high,
no,
but their wagging tail
wagging,
and their purr
yeah,
do.
Yeah, dogs and cats calibrate around 250.
Mm-hmm.
If you adopt them, they jump to maybe 255 if a family loves them.
Mm-hmm.
But the purr is 500, and the dog's wagging tail is 500. The dog has unconditional love. The fact that you're in prison for murder, the dog couldn't care less. He just comes over and loves you, you see? And the transformative power of Elvis was front page news, and I clipped out and I saved it, you know. And, of course, we see the effect on, you know, they do it in hardened criminals. They have hardened criminals, the dog program. And the hardened criminals train these dogs to become seeing-eye dogs. And about a third of them, or even more than that, transforms their life. And some will stay in the prison past their discharge date to finish up the training of this specific dog. Totally transformative to love others, the power of love itself. So if you have trouble, if you're a misogynist and hate people, and et cetera, and the place to start out with is a pet, because a pet gives you the first loving relationship, and then you can build, move on from there to people. But at least you start someplace.
Wow. Now, can you describe the etheric brain, why it's difficult for an individual in a society that calibrates below 200 to break loose from the dominance of the collective field that he's in?
Yes, because the 200 below 200 is animal energy,
mm-hmm.
and it's designed for survival, powerfully programmed for survival. And it's innate, intrinsic, fundamental, and therefore it has a very powerful hold. It influences perception, and it creates what I call the experiencer aspect of the ego with which we identify. And that experiencer aspect is interested in survival. Mm-hmm. And at 200, there's only one motivation, and that is to get, to acquire. And a person is driven by that. Their brain function is aligned with that. The left brain is aligned with fight or flight, survival, primitive neurotransmitters, etc. And the way the brain processes information is to the emotional center and belatedly through the prefrontal cortex. So intelligence and intellect comes to play late in the game, and you've already emotionally reacted before your what we would call common sense comes to save you. It's too late by then. Above 200, your brain actually processes information differently. The information goes through your prefrontal cortex rapidly and then to the emotional center. And, of course, over 200, you develop an etheric brain. So the etheric brain, which is spiritual energy, processes it even faster. So you begin to see and experience life differently. A person who experiences New York City who calibrates below 200 will report a totally different experience than a person who calibrates well over 200. One will say it's cold and friendly, they'll say you're blind, etc. They've got a completely negative experience. The other person will say everybody in New York City was like a small town. You can stop and chat with anybody anywhere. People gave us directions, the waitresses were all nice. Are they talking about two different worlds? Yeah. So the experiential world is powerfully subjective. Everybody thinks it's objective. They think it's that's the way it is out there. They don't understand that that's the way they've created their own experience of the out-there-ness. Mm-hmm. The impact of a person below 200 on another is different than a person over 200. Yes, to some degree, the unfriendliness and guardedness is the impact of who they are. The other person senses that this is something that's out to get your energy and get you somehow. So the people they experience are more on guard. If you're in the presence of something that's benign, you relax and make yourself vulnerable. Huh? Mm-hmm. Elvis did that. Elvis just sprang across the lawn and didn't know he was wanting to play frisbee with a potential killer.
Right. So you talk about the consciousness of humankind at the time of Christ or Buddha was below 200. And here are these enlightened masters who calibrated 1,000. That must have been then very difficult for them in their time.
No, because what we're talking about is the collective, but there's always been the bell curve. Mm-hmm. There's those that are way at the bottom, then there's the predominance of mankind, and then there's always a few that are, you know, have extremely high IQs or spiritually gifted people. So there's always been the spiritually gifted and prone to the progression of consciousness all the way to the level of enlightenment. See? Mm-hmm. They're inspired, and they're probably karmically gifted, you know.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Spiritual genius. You could call them spiritual genius.